It was September of 1955. Ray Dennison, an Army vet and father of three, took the field for the Fort Lewis A&M Aggies. On the opening kickoff return, Dennison's helmet collided with the ball carrier's knee. The base of Dennison's skull was shattered. He died 30 hours later. His widow sued Fort Lewis A&M for workers' comp benefits on behalf of her husband, who'd been a scholarship athlete. Feeling like the entire amateur system would crumble if schools were forced to pay workers' comp claims for athletes, NCAA Executive Director Walter Byers met with his legal team and came up with a strategy to make sure no one would mistake a college athlete for an employee entitled to benefits. Schools were told to refer to players as student athletes. They included an amateurism pledge with every scholarship offer. It worked. Dennison's widow lost her suit, and the phrase stuck. Walter Byers became the NCAA's first full-time employee in 1951, when he was just 29 years old. And pretty quickly, he established a reputation for being
a workaholic type of guy. He was very strict. He had these rules about how you dressed when you went to the NCAA office.
That's Jack McCallum, former senior writer at Sports Illustrated. For the next four decades, Byers served as the NCAA's first executive director. He took the organization from being nothing more than a debating society for amateurism established during Teddy Roosevelt's day to the money-making operation Zach Bohannon studied for his debate class. Byers established the NCAA's Enforcement Division and, in the name of amateurism, went after schools and coaches caught breaking the rules. At the same time, he grew the business of the NCAA, and at that, he was spectacularly successful. He negotiated a series of increasingly lucrative TV deals and turned March Madness into an economic and social sensation. But he didn't enjoy the spotlight.
He didn't even go to the NCAA basketball tournament. I got to tell you how extraordinary that is. I mean, that's like Roger Goodell not showing up at the Super Bowl.
But in 1984, schools sued the NCAA for the right to control their own TV deals. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court. The NCAA lost. This is what would lead to the explosion in television money. It's what made schools and conferences rich. But at the time, it was seen as a real setback for the NCAA. So Jack McCallum requested an interview with Walter Byers. Byers said yes.
I had prepared for this interview like I had done with no other, because talking to Byers was sort of like you were going in to talk to the leader of a foreign nation who had never been seen. But 5 minutes into the interview, he suddenly says, "You know, I've reached the point where I've started thinking about an open division to make it more, for want of a better word, professional."
Walter Byers had been an unrelenting defender of amateurism for more than 30 years. And now, with no warning, he was suggesting that the NCAA should try another way.
Holy hell, what's he saying? This does not sound like it's coming from the mind of Walter Byers.
The NCAA council wasn't entirely pleased that the guy in charge had just undermined their entire business model. A few years later, Byers retired to his cattle ranch outside of Kansas City, and the NCAA doubled down on amateurism. In 1995, he published his memoir. He called it Unsportsmanlike Conduct, and it's basically a takedown of all he had built and an apology for how little he had been able to do in the end to fix it. But the book didn't make much of a splash.
By the time he wrote the book, I think he was a little bit of a forgotten man.
Byers didn't go on a book tour. He didn't make the morning talk show rounds. Congress didn't ask him to testify. Byers almost never spoke in public. But a year before his book came out, he made an exception. He was 73 years old.
Let me first say this means a great deal to me. And every year you go past 70, you get a greater appreciation for being remembered.
It was the Kansas City Sports Commission's annual gala dinner. The group was presenting Byers with an award for his exceptional contribution to amateur sports. And Byers used his time at the podium to attack amateurism.
Each generation of young persons come along, and all they ask is, Coach, give me a chance, I can do it. And it's a disservice to these young people that the management of intercollegiate athletics stays in place, committed to an outmoded code of amateurism. And I attribute that to, quite frankly, to the neo-plantation mentality that exists on the campuses of our country and in the conference offices and in the NCAA. The coach owns the athlete's feet, the college owns the athlete's body, and the athlete's mind is supposed to comprehend a rule book that I challenge Dave Burris, who's sitting down in this audience, to explain in rational terms to you inside of 8 hours.
So, Karen, the guy who built the modern NCAA wanted to tear it down. Was there anything he was proud of?
Yeah, definitely, Shira. And I think we need to talk about one of those things. Because Byers was really proud that sports helped, as he called it, hasten integration. Basically, in order to win football and basketball games, Southern schools eventually agreed to admit Black students, especially Black athletes.
I'm not so sure how well that worked out.
I know. Go ahead, tell the story, because this really plays into what's happening now.